Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observers Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, March 31st, 2021. We're nearly done this time, and I want to wish you all happy World Backup Day. Here to talk to me about it, spoiler alert, is Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello.
Glad you're here. And also with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We had such a winning combination yesterday. We're just going with it.
Yeah, I was going to say you restored the backup of yesterday.
Very nice.
Yes. Today's
but something got lost in translation.
Possibly.
It's entirely quite possible. So as I mentioned, it is World Backup Day, and we're going to talk a little bit about backups. And the first one to start with for most people is going to be Time Machine. And this is something that's, Dave, this has been around a really long time, Time Machine. Like, I mean, relatively. It feels like it's been there the whole time we've had Mac OS X, but I know it came along later than Mac
OS
X did.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm not entirely sure how long, I can't remember when Time Machine came into being for us, but at the time, and it's really hard to talk about this with no pun intended, but there is none yet. It was really a game changer that an operating system would have backup functionality within it. Backup prior to that was a really difficult thing for users to do. In fact, I was guilty of it too. I was doing a lot of consulting, and I would encourage people and even be paid to set up backups for people. But mm-hmm. I was not backing up on my own until I had a near like fatal scenario with a dying hard drive. And since that day, I have been backing up. But yeah, no, Time Machine is a valuable and it gets a bad rap, and it deserves all of it. But it also is a fantastic thing for all of us to have as part of our backup strategy. I don't recommend relying on it solely, but for me, it's the first line of defense. If I need to restore something, I will go to Time Machine first. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, I mean, there's obviously, you know, there's differences here, but yeah.
So I looked while you were telling us about it, and it came with macOS 10.5. So it came as part of Leopard, which we got in 2007. And initially, I think part of the problem with it, one of the problems with it, as you mentioned, like there's more than one. One of the problems with it initially is that it would only work on Apple's own hardware. So Apple used to make something called a Time Capsule, and that was the only place you could ever use Time Machine. And
I so remember the Time Capsule.
Mm-hmm. And then Dave is at airport. One of the airport things also included a Time Capsule in the bottom of it, helpfully. And then you could back up to that as well. But the big thing about it in the first place was that it worked quietly in the background, and B, it did what's called a delta. So you didn't have to do a whole new backup every time. It would just sort of keep track of, like, here's the original, and then here's the bit of stuff that changed since the last time we backed up. So I don't have to do the whole thing all over again. I only have to do the part that's different. And that was the thing a lot of people hadn't really done at that point. As far as, like, you know, backup solutions or anything, like, using that as an option was kind of weird. Especially at first, there was, you know, a lot of kind of confusion about it. And I admit, much like Dave, I didn't have a lot of interest in doing it because I wasn't interested in buying Apple's really spendy hard drive to do it. So I never bothered.
It's important to point out that even from the get-go, Time Machine would work with any external drive that you attached directly to your Mac. It was for network backups that you needed Apple's hardware initially.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then third parties came around and figured out how to present their network solutions as Time Machine enabled backup destinations or time machine okay. enabled destinations. But yeah, no, it was, it, in fact, it was, and I would say still is, most reliable when you are using it with direct attached drives. Now that's always the most convenient thing, especially now that we are very much a, you know, laptop centric society. It's much better to have backups that can happen over the network, either locally mm-hmm. or, you know, over the internet. But Time Machine's actually quite reliable when you use it locally. And yes. with Big Sur, and I want to say 11.1, it might be 11.2. However, with something that came after the first release of Big Sur, but something that came before the current release, if you create a new Time Machine backup with Big Sur, it will leverage Big Sur's the file system that is native to Big Sur, which is APFS. Prior to that, it was only using macOS Extended, or as we called it, HFS Plus. And the big difference there is that APFS has support for things called snapshots, where you can tell the file system, duplicate this folder, and it doesn't actually duplicate it. And I'm oversimplifying here, but it just creates a pointer, a second pointer to that folder, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then the file system itself keeps track of the changes. Where that comes in handy for backups is it makes that process of the incremental, or like you said, the delta backup, way more efficient, because it can just start with, okay, here's where we are. We've created a snapshot. We let the file system do that. Time Machine didn't have to craft its own sort of hack around to do this. And it's like so much faster. It can be like 10 times faster to back up to a direct attached Time Machine, direct attached drive with Time Machine than it was prior. So mm-hmm. if you haven't created a new backup since, let's say, 11.2, which would have been, you know, late fall.
Yeah.
Then you probably aren't leveraging this. So if you inherited a backup from Catalina or whatever, a Time Machine backup, it'll still work. It's all still fine, but it's going to be on HFS Plus, or even if it's on APFS, it's not going to be doing this new magic that they rolled out with the kind of the new thinking of how to do this. So it did change with Big Sur, and then after Big Sur came out. It will do this with your network backups too, by the way. It will create a disk image inside which is an APFS volume that's doing some of that stuff. So okay. If you are using Time Machine, there's two things that I would sort of say. Number one is I would strongly consider, if you're using Big Sur, to let it create a new backup now. And a lot of people hate that because they say, well, I'm going to lose all my history. Well, my experience with Time Machine, especially because most of my Time Machine backups are network, mm-hmm. is that you're going to wind up creating a new backup once a year anyway, because it's going to get corrupted. At least that was the case with HFS Plus. I haven't had a backup for a year with APFS, so I can't say whether that's more or less reliable. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting any change in its reliability. I'm expecting network backups are terrible. With Time Machine is terrible for network backups because it's your computer that is managing the network volume, not the network storage device managing the network volume. Mm-hmm. So any connection hiccup can corrupt that network volume. There's other ways of doing backups over the network that are far more reliable. Time Machine doesn't implement any of them. And that's back to what I said at the beginning, that Time Machine deserves a lot of the flack that it gets. But anyway, create new Time Machine backups. That would be a good thing to put on your "Here's what I learned during World Backup Day 2021 list.
Yeah, definitely.
Can I throw a controversial take in here? Slightly.
Yes.
It's not so controversial. So I, as you guys mentioned earlier in the conversation, you could always turn a third-party hard drive into a Time Machine, essentially your Time Machine drive, your Time Capsule. It wasn't called that because it wasn't made by Apple.
Right.
But you could assign a drive that you plugged into your computer and Apple recognized it as the bit that does Time Machine.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have always found, and I'm probably going to induce a panic attack in Dave for saying this, that I don't like to have the automated Time Machine backups. I'm very much a manual backup person.
Huh.
So I have a drive that I, because firstly, there's some things that if the world, you know, if my computer died, I could wouldn't need, and it wouldn't matter if they disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly, most of the stuff that is essential that needs to be automatically backed up, I have backed up in the cloud in various ways, and we can discuss that if you want. But I found that turning off the auto for me, mm-hmm. not having an automatic time machine which replicates everything on your computer, but select files that are, you know, on this designated third-party hard drive. That's always been the way I've done it and found that particularly useful, so that, you know, if something happened, you plug in that drive and you get most of your stuff back anyway, or the stuff that you know you would need back.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that controversial, no. Although some people might agree with that assessment. There's always been this argument that sync is not backup. That's a mantra that you often hear amongst right, exactly. IT crowd, and everybody, you know, sort of agrees. Ah, yes, sync is not backup, and it's our daily meditation. The problem is that's not entirely true. Sync is a fantastic backup for many things, and the reason is that for many things, sync has versioning. You know, when you talk about syncing to iCloud Drive or Dropbox, like you can go to the web interfaces and restore files that might have been changed by you, mm-hmm. not just files that were lost because you lost your drive.
Yeah.
And so sync really can be a good type of backup. I suppose the most important thing to share here is the subtext that, my opinion, none of us should be relying on only one type of backup. Yeah. And I'm including sync in that list, right? So if mm-hmm. you're doing sync and you're doing what Charlotte is doing, where, you know, if sync is sort of happening automatically because it is for so many things we do all the time, including like our IMAP email and our bookmarks, and, you know, iCloud just syncs a lot of data. So if that's happening already, and then you're doing some sort of regularly scheduled, whether it's automated or you're doing it manually, but if it's happening regularly and you're doing a backup, mm-hmm. well, now you're getting into the realm of truly being protected. And that's really what we're after here. We're not after, I'm not after speaking in mantras. So,
And there's a lot. Go ahead, Charlotte.
No, I was basically going to entirely agree with Dave that for me, the thing that gives me the most reassurance is knowing I have stuff in multiple places. Mm-hmm. So whether it's the fact that the Word documents I write automatically go to OneDrive.
Right.
Or, you know, the fact that they're, you know, frankly, the fact that, you know, images I produce for the Mac Observer automatically go both onto my Dropbox and actually into the Mac Observer's media library. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all a different, making sure that it is all in different places, right? And the fact that then there's also documents, maybe there's stuff that I have in Dropbox that I want because I want it there. Or I mean, I remember when I was particularly paranoid about this, was not a surprise, when I was writing a book and yes. the manuscript was saved in multiple places,
sure,
you know, updated multiple times. So mm-hmm. I think at one point I had it on the computer, I was using Scrivener, and I had it on the computer, definitely went to Dropbox, and I think it also went on the hard drive as well.
Oh, sure.
Depends, because, you know, I was not taking risks with anything breaking.
Because, if that evaporates, you know, like, and plus, you know, if one of them evaporates, like, this is part of what I think gets lost sometimes in backups, is it feels really abstract to a lot of people, and you have to put it very plainly. If lightning strikes your phone and it is no longer usable and you can't do anything with it, how do you come back from that? And we spend a lot of time on macOS, but iOS is another one that's pretty important. And this is another piece of that, because there's not necessarily, like, it says it's iCloud backup, but one thing that it doesn't back up, like, it does back up a lot of stuff, but it doesn't back up a whole lot of things. So, for example, applications that you have on your phone, those don't get backed up. What you get is a little bookmark, sort of a placeholder, so that if you do decide you need to restore your phone from backup, what you get is the latest version of that app. So if something happened and the new version of the app is terrible in some way, and you have not updated it consciously, because this actually happened to somebody I know. Like something about the new one was broken in like an accessibility way. So it was literally, I can't use the latest version, so I'm not updating this one. And then restored from backup and ended up on the latest version, and you can't go back on iOS. So had a really hard time with that. So I'm going to link out, Andrew wrote a piece about making backups and how if you're using iCloud backup, it's not really backing everything up like 100% the way that you can get with other, you know, like with other services. Like we always talk about iMazing. We will probably talk more about iMazing in the future. There's other ways that you can make sure that you have a backup of your phone that, or of your iPad, that's slightly more thorough than just, I turned on the iCloud backup and that's fine. A big piece of that is because if you're not paying extra for iCloud storage, you're not gonna have room to back everything up in the first place. So it's not enough space to make it something that actually is like materially backed up. There's some basic things that you can do, but you know, some of the, like your contacts will probably come back. Your mail will probably come back. Pictures, I can't really say if you don't have anything set up to back those up somewhere else. So if your phone evaporates, are all those images gone? That's the number one thing I think people don't consider when we talk about backups is what happens to all the pictures on your phone if your phone goes kaput for in an unrecoverable way. What do you get? Where are all those images? Whether it's plug your phone in once in a while to your computer and have it sync all of your pictures to the Photos app on your computer, or something else that you use to manage photos on your computer, like just make sure you have a folder where all of those go once in a while so you've got that done. That kind of thing is always really important to make sure happens, because if your phone is unrecoverable, what happens to all the stuff on it is a thing sometimes I think people sort of forget about, and then it happens, and then you're stuck.
Go ahead, Charlotte.
No, I was just saying, I think it's a thing that people sometimes forget that is a particularly pertinent to Apple issue, that you think because everything's gone to the cloud, say the example you're using of photos, Kelly, is a perfect one, that everything is safe. But obviously, it's mirroring and syncing, as we come back to the point before, your phone. So you have to kind of think another way about what happens if the phone goes kaput, because it's easy to think, oh, just because it goes to iCloud, everything's safe. But actually, that is often mirroring your phone. So there are ways that what you think is backed up and is in the cloud, suddenly there's a new sync happens and all that's gone.
Yeah.
Well, and with photos in particular, though, this is one of those things where iCloud is a backup, right? Because even if you go delete everything from your phone, you still have all those deleted photos are sitting in the cloud. You can restore them from there, right? So
yeah, I think you get 30 days when you toss something.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And so better to have one of your Macs backing those up in some way, you know, either directly from your phone, which is difficult if you aren't syncing all of the photos down to your phone. That starts to get sort of tricky. The best way to do it is to have a Mac syncing all of your photos with the option in the Photos app to download originals to this computer. And then you've got a copy of them there, and then you could even back that up in another way. But yeah, it's worth thinking about. And to answer a question that you sort of asked almost rhetorically before, you know, how do you come back from that when there is a problem? I strongly encourage people to practice a restoration when you're not in emergency mode. So we all do our backups. We all think that our backups are working for us. Some Saturday afternoon, restore a file from one of your backups, or test booting your bootable clone if that's part of your strategy. Make sure that these things work the way you intend to be able to rely on them to work when you're in that pressure cooker, A, you will confirm or not that your backups are doing what you want, but you'll also have some practice. So when that mm-hmm. emergency moment strikes, you're like, oh, I know how to do this. I don't know just that it's possible, I hope. It's like, I've done this before. I have a little muscle memory. I've experienced this. You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, knowing what normal looks like.
Yep.
So that when you go, and that applies here too, when you go to restore from that backup, you know, oh, I've seen this before. This is normal. And, and things can be weird. When you boot to your clone, there are a lot of things that are likely to yell at you because it's not the same drive.
It's not like where I was a minute ago, and correct. I'm mad about it. Yeah.
We had one listener, and we'll put a, I put a comment in the, in this week's Mac Geek Gab, but one listener said before he runs two shell scripts, one before he has Carbon Copy Cloner do his clone and one after, and it turns off Wi-Fi, backs up, and then turns on Wi-Fi. And the reason is when he boots from his clone, he wants Wi-Fi to be off. He doesn't want it to start syncing down from the cloud, potentially inheriting some problem that he synced up to the cloud. And now his clone has a little bit more value. Now, obviously, for him, that works. He's able to back up at a time when he doesn't need Wi-Fi enabled on his computer. But yeah. It's just, it's an interesting thought. Like, wow, I've been in that scenario before where it's like, okay. And I've even, like, I've unplugged Ethernet cables to keep it from doing that. I've changed my Wi-Fi password before booting from a clone so that mm-hmm. I don't magically connect to some Wi-Fi that I don't want to. But, you know, it's just interesting to think about these things. So, you know, wait, of course it's going to try and connect to the network. Of course it's going to do this. Seeing what normal looks yep. like will allow you to be a little more prepared. So anyway,
yeah.
test your backups.
Absolutely test your backups. You also don't have to rely on Time Machine. And part of that is like, because if it's a local backup and, you know, the thing that happens to your house and not just to your computer, you know, it's nice to have another backup someplace else, whether it's a hard drive at someone else's house or whether you use a cloud backup service as well. We have a whole Geek Gab size show we could do about just the backup piece of things, apparently.
Absolutely.
So you can definitely expect to hear more about that. Thanks, Dave and Charlotte, for coming on. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.